Options Action and the following message is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Get elite-level trading tools and powerful resources from TD Ameritrade. Trader made, trader tested, trader approved.
We're taking a look at the Trumps. They're at the viewing stands of the inaugural parade there. You see closest to us, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, the First Lady, Barron Trump, and the 45th President of the United States, as well as a vice president, in a military salute as the marching bands walk by. Welcome back. This is Options Action. We are monitoring all these events in Washington on this very historic day. So let's talk about this and the impacts. You know, it was not surprising. It was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, erupted in applause and cheers.
It was a constant.
At the moment he was sworn in.
Exactly. It was a everyone, to David's point, everyone was glued to the television screen. And once you heard him get sworn into office, there was a thunderous roar of applause, which is not shocking.
But hold on. It's kind of shocking. And I'll tell you, Stephen, I don't mean to make it sound this way. I mean, there's a place of an institution where those people, their jobs may be going away. I mean, let's be very frank. So I think there's a lot of financial institutions where people were not cheering by any means.
Why?
Well, I think it could be a demographic thing. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I don't think pointing to the New York Stock Exchange and the cheers down there is saying that Wall Street is overjoyed by this event today.
David said it.
He said they were glued to it. They were glued to it. It's a very important point.
This is a business, a pro-business president with a pro-business.
I don't agree that he's pro-business.
Do you think the financial community is unhappy that Donald Trump is elected president?
They may be in a couple months. If Dodd-Frank and none of this stuff has happened,
I have now that it wasn't indicative of the financial community. So I'm asking you to back it up. Do you think
I don't think it is.
Do you think they're happier with Donald Trump than the last 8 years with the Barack Obama?
I don't know.
You don't know. So you can't cross the desk as if you did know. That's all I'm saying.
It's not the entirety of the financial community. It is a trading community. And if you are a trader, then you probably would be happy about this. Had Clinton been elected, we would have had more of the same, most likely. If anything's going to contribute to volatility and more money flows because things are changing, this is it.
All right, were people here at the NASDAQ? Were they standing up and cheering? We're here at the NASDAQ. Hey, guys, were you guys cheering here? But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, like, you have a group. How many people are down there? It used to be thousands. Now there's hundreds.
It used to be 5,000. Now it's 500 because the Ford plant doesn't look like what the Ford plant looked in 1940s. Neither here nor there. I don't know what you're
Look, again, I think it was very mixed. I mean, we have a mixture of Democrats, Republicans on the desk. We have people that were just glued to listening to the commentary because we were concerned about something coming out that could have been stupid or could have moved the markets. Look, I know we can't run on fumes of expectations forever. We need fuel for this market to continue higher. And Dan made a good point just a minute ago about, you know, people aren't really looking for a lot of upside or downside. I think that the market is in paralyzed
mode. Was there any financial CEO that came across unhappy
I think in general, both of you are making...
CEOs initially were.
No. He said financial. Was there any financial CEO that came across unhappy?
I would say this. I think in general, the market has taken off since he won the election. The market has performed well, I should say, right? So in general, I do believe that the volatility, and you bring up the exact point, volatility within our business is what we thrive on. We want volatility. So no matter what, you're going to hear a cheer or whatever it is, just from the fact that we've got increased volatility.
Did you hear a cheer?
Right or wrong? What?
Did you hear a cheer?
I didn't hear a cheer.
November 9th, I talked to a lot of really smart people all over the street. On November 9th, I knew a lot of people in this business who did not want a tax cut. They were happy for millions of Americans to have health insurance. They didn't want a tax cut. That's not what they voted
about
for.
What I am saying is, to Steve's point, to your point, I mean, I'm really kind of like in the middle here from the perspective that I believe that the financial community is super happy. I know my firm's happy. Earnings are going to be better. We got more volatility.
We've got more business coming in the door. That is the point Mike made.
All right. We're watching again the parade here, the inaugural parade in Washington, D.C. Let's go back to Kelly Evans and John Harwood, who are there.
Yeah, we're watching the tail end of this, Melissa, and loving the discussion back there as well. John, don't you think it's a sort of small representation of what's happening across this country?
No question about it. And the basic idea of whether Donald Trump is going to be good for American business or bad for American business, I think, is unsettled. There are certain things reduce regulation, lower taxes that have the potential to be a real boon, send the market up. But on the other hand, if you have a trade war, if you throw up immigration policies, including a wall that seems to have the United States retreat from the rest of the world, that's not so good.
By the way, I had maybe personally been hopeful or thinking that even though we got started late on the parade by about 20 minutes, we might finish up by 5 o'clock. That was originally scheduled, that 3 to 5 window. And people were pointing out that it seemed to be taking them a while to go along the parade route. Well, in fact, it's been over 2 hours time now. But President Trump is seated, as you saw there, with his wife and his son, along with Ivanka and with his family, with the Pences, and they quite seem to be enjoying themselves and really taking it all in, looking probably more relaxed than we've really seen all day.
Well, they're inside. It's warm in that reviewing stand. And now that, you know, their work's essentially done, this is the moment for those young people in the marching bands to go by and have their moment. And then pretty soon, the president and the first lady are going to be at inaugural balls. And as we discussed earlier, the only question is going to be, does he sign any executive orders and make some real policy news in between this moment of the day and the inaugural ball?
Because he can do that right in the Oval Office, as I understand.
He can turn right around from these reviewing stands and walk 100 yards or so inside the White House and do it if he chooses to.
So we have been following this now from dawn until dusk. A lot of expectations about this day, and some parts of it exceeded those, maybe in terms of some of the violence, even though it was localized, that we saw. Overall, what are your reflections on how it's played out, from the crowds to the weather, to the ceremonies that we've witnessed, to the speeches that were given, to who showed up and who didn't, to the, you know, Charles Schumer, for example, sort of interjecting himself in a way that has garnered plenty of attention this afternoon. So there's a lot of things to digest here, and it's going to take a while for that to be fully done.
I would say, Kelly, that the overall, my impression was that Washington was more subdued than I expected. You did have that little pocket of violent protests and the fire, and it made for spectacular pictures, but the number of protesters was not very large. The number of people, by certainly the standards of recent history, attending the inaugural was also not that large. Now, the president did inject a lot of emotion, pugnacity, passion into that speech. And I think if there was any surprise to me from the day, it's that the president did a speech that could have taken place during the campaign. It was much of the same material that he drew from the campaign. And he was unbowed in promoting a nationalist vision of America's future that reflects the desires of his chief strategist, Steve Bannon, a populist nationalist approach to politics. He vowed to those working class voters, everything I do is going to be for you. And now we test that against the reality of governing.
Pugnacious is a great word. Let's throw it to the pugnacious crew back at the NASDAQ.
We certainly are tonight. Thanks, guys. I'm going to pick up right where you guys left it in terms of him saying, buy American, hire American. Can you have that sort of attitude in this very globalized economy? You're talking to multinationals on the S&P 500, right? Dow components.
That's the big risk, right? So if you want to talk about what people were looking for when they were glued to the screen or applauding today, what they were looking for is how protectionist is going to be. What does that mean for the multinationals? What does it mean for somebody like a Walmart, right? So Walmart's going to get squeezed from multiple sides here. You probably get a wage increase, but you'll also have higher goods costs coming from China. That's going to be a problem. So as an investor, that's what you're looking for in this particular environment. And to me, it's unclear whether that's going to be a positive or negative. I can make the argument for both sides, and all day long I wanted to see if I could get an edge on that, and I didn't get anything out of the speech. Maybe I will out of executive orders that come out over the next 24 hours.
You know, it's interesting that the CEO of Renault-Nissan, Carlos Ghosn, was quoted on the sides of Davos today of saying, you know, we're businessmen, we're very practical, and if the U.S. president is going to say, hire people in the United States, build cars in the United States that you're going to sell in the United States, that's what we're going to do because we're in business to make money. So it's sort of this pragmatism that's sort of hitting the C-suite, that this is the new reality of things.
Right, and I think, once again, he's talking to his base. He's talking to middle America. This is what resonates with, other than people that live on coastal cities and states, he's talking to middle America. This is what resonates with that population. But I do think where the rubber meets the road, when you look at EEMs, the emerging market ETF, which I'm long, I think his rhetoric is going to be a lot worse than the reality of it all. So I think these sectors or spaces can move.
Quick point, Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of times these businesses are basically reinforcing things that they were already doing. I mean, you have Japanese car companies were building Camrys and Accords here.
Absolutely.
You know, BMW and Mercedes were already manufacturing cars here. So, I mean, we're just basically talking about an existing trend that came before him.
All right, Options Action special coverage of the inauguration continues. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Options Action special coverage of the inauguration. Donald Trump's rise to the White House inciting numerous protests across the U.S. Let's get to Hampton Pearson, who's live in Washington, D.C. And Hampton, you saw firsthand, front row, some of these protests yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And our situation is ongoing, even as we speak. Just blocks away from that presidential viewing stand, you can see behind me, number one, the security force here, the police force here, has more than doubled since our last report. They actually, a few minutes ago, had kind of a dry run where they moved us en masse down the street. Then we moved back. It does look like the police are prepared to at least try and take back more of the street, if you will, from these protesters. Literally thousands here gathered in the area. Of course, it's getting nightfall as well. Again, this situation continues. The protesters themselves have sort of calmed down, basically walking up to the front lines, if you will, and kind of getting in the face of the police officers. But again, the force here is double. Some of the officers appear to be having tear gas, many of them, as a matter of fact. We will wait and see and obviously report to you as the situation here continues to unfold. Back to you.
Hampton, it's very dark there. It's hard to tell, and it's sort of hard to tell just by camera shots, but can you give us an idea of the presence of the protesters versus the presence of the police? It seemed in earlier shots that sometimes the police outnumber the number of protesters there.
Well, that's a hard number to get at, too, in terms of a lot of the protesters. Frankly, too, there are a significant number of media. I will say this. Among the protesters, you can tell that there are, in essence, people that are calling the shots in terms of when they would escalate their movement towards the police, throwing bricks earlier, setting those fires that we've been reporting on all along. And then they, too, will pull back, if you will. But again, the numbers of at least uniformed police and, frankly, what they're armed with has really escalated in the last half hour.
All right, Hampton, thank you. Hampton Pearson in Washington, D.C., monitoring the protests that are just a few blocks away from the scene that you're seeing on the left side of your screen, which is the viewing stands where the president and his family, the vice president and his family, are taking a look at the inaugural parade as it goes by and starts to wind down as dusk falls on the nation's capital. Does this signify, Guy, in your view, a divided country, these protests? It's interesting. You know, Scott Wapner talked to one of them earlier and asked the person, what are you protesting? And he said nothing. He just didn't say a word.
I think
if
Mrs.
silent.
Clinton was elected, I think you'd have protests as well. Is it symbolic of everything? No, I think you could probably go throughout history, and I'm sure there have been protests on every election. We just happen to live in a news cycle that we have cameras at every street corner and we have eyes on everything. So is it symbolic of anything? No, but I will say this. I do believe the country is probably as polarized as it's been over the last 8 to 10 years. I don't know if that's good for markets, bad for markets. Markets don't seem to really care. I mean, I still think, regardless right now, we're in an environment where the market wants to go higher.
In 2010, when we saw that flip in the midterm, the country was really polarized with health care.
Yeah, but you can say, but there's no mandate here. This is really important, though. I mean, the Dems won by 3 million in the popular vote. And the swing states where they won by 1%. 1%. And there's a lot of people who don't think it's a particularly legitimate win. When you consider the knowledge of the Russian hacking and you think about Comey's lending.
We could go back and forth over that.
Yeah, but look at the GDP. Look at the GDP of California and New York, which the Dems just slaughtered.
There's electoral college because the founding fathers knew better than you do. So he turned a lot of
right, and your guy thought it was rigged, Steve. Your guy thought it was rigged right into about November 8th at 9 p.m.
I want to get beyond this. Come on, the guy's president now, and this is the reality that we have. And the markets have to trade this.
Dry your tears and let's move on.
So the reality is when you talk about the country being divided, there's clearly something going on with the rise of Bernie Sanders, President Trump being elected. You can say no matter what side you're on, the electorate is unhappy with the direction of the economy, of the country, whatever it is they're unhappy about, and that is going to change one way or the other. So I think as an investor, again, looking at that, you have to say, okay, where are the things that are going to change? What's going to have the biggest impact? And I think you saw it today with John Deere, Cat Tractor, and all these names going to new highs.
All right, up next, with President Trump officially in the White House, is Dow 20,000 back on? The traders weigh in right after this break.
Founded in 1897.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength.
That was President Trump's inauguration speech. This is Options Action. He was talking about putting America first. So will this strategy, could this put Dow 20K back on the table? What do you say?
I don't know. Like, I look at that and say, in my life, family first, right? But family first isn't always necessarily the best financial situation. So I look at it and say, putting America first, we talk about import, you know, taxing. That's going to be a headwind. So I don't know 20K next week. Unless we get something really specific from him, that's a wild card out of him this weekend. I think we just sort of hang here for a period of time until we get very specific things out of his administration on what's going to change.
Remember, during his address, I mean, we saw the Dow up by about 0.5%. We saw the Dow pare its gains almost exactly in half. And then by the end of the day, finished close to session highs. Granted, these are small moves on a point basis, but still it's worth noting this was happening while he was addressing America as the president for the first time.
Right. And as protectionist as some people might think that speech was, what was interesting, if you looked at the Mexican peso today, it actually gained some ground. You would have thought that weakened significantly, but it gained some ground. So for me, what I've said all week is you give me a stable to weaker dollar. You give me a relatively stable bond market, slowly, interest rates slowly going higher, then you want to buy the dips in this market. And we haven't had much of a dip, but so if you give me that next week and we get some good earnings, then I do think Dow 20K is not hard to reach.
And you layer on top of this action we saw intraday, and you add in the fact that the VIX got crushed today.
Yeah. You know, so I'd say there's two things. We're talking about earnings. We're talking about some better economic data. We're talking about greater business enthusiasm. I think you can't forget about the Fed. I mean, the Fed's going to have a meeting on February 1st. They're going to have another one on March 15th. Let's see what the pace of rate increases are this year. We have a 10-year that's close to 2.5%. That's the highest it's been in a very long time. During the taper tantrum in May of 13, it got up to 3%. And you think about it, the market was much lower back then. So maybe the markets can deal with this gradual rate increase. If we were to start to price in greater increases this year, I think there could be some volatility.
Well, already we heard Janet Yellen say the other night in California, a few increases every year through 2019. I mean, that's out there at this point in terms of.
We talk about volatility. I happen to agree with this, but you look at the VIX. I mean, Mike can speak to this. VIX, to me, there's a potential for it to go to single digits. Nobody really talking about that. Everybody's talking about the VIX going back to 23, which inevitably will happen. But what about the fact that the VIX actually could go down from here, which is nobody's expecting? To answer your original question, listen, the S&P is 9 points from an all-time high. That's less than 0.5%, right? So I do think that we're just going to continue to ratchet higher because this market seems impervious to just about everything.
All right, up next, a preview of next week's earnings. Much more options action right after this.
waiting for Tennessee as they march in their 13th presidential inaugural parade.
Welcome back to Options Action. A number of big earnings out next week, from McDonald's to Boeing to Starbucks, Biogen. Guys, buying or selling any of these names into earnings? Mike, what do you say? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Caterpillar. The 26 is when they report. The management has themselves been more skeptical about the coming years than I think investors have been, and I'm looking to see whether they're going to say that again.
Dan?
Yeah, you want to get to Dow 20,000 and NASDAQ new highs every day. Look at Thursday. You have Google. You have Microsoft. That's $1 trillion in market cap. That's 20% nearly of the NASDAQ 100. Those companies put up beat and raises, and the stock market's going higher.
Yeah, Seaberg?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they don't put up beat and raises and the market does roll over, just have your basket of stocks ready to buy that you have confidence in, because I do believe that there will be, it's a pullback to buy. McDonald's reports on Monday morning. I'm looking at that. I think that stock goes to 130 before it goes to 110. Made that bet last week, and I'm sticking with it.
They have all those new Big Macs.
Love that
Mac
we did
Juniors,
a taste test.
Mac Grand.
Still, I'm still sort of
they all
squeamish.
Taste the same as the bottom line.
Qualcomm on Wednesday. Yeah. Do they address that FTC thing? I think they're going to have a great quarter. It sold off late today, but I think Qualcomm, for me at least, next week is the most interesting.
I mean, semiconductors today were phenomenal on the back of the Skyworks numbers, right?
I'm still long Micron, so take the lead and see what semiconductors do. But Biogen's going to be interesting, because if the number one thing is repeal and replace Obamacare, even though Biogen is not going to be big in Obamacare or the repeal of it, it's still going to have a collateral effect.
Did they talk about it?
I think they're going to talk about biotech in general.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, you have Lockheed Martin on Tuesday. You have Boeing on Wednesday. Obviously, both big defense names.
Trump trades,
exactly. So let's, I want to listen to the conference call and see what they have to say about the meetings they've had with the president and how they're handling this. That's going to set the tone, at least in my world, for those stocks.
You've got a trade on for next week, Mike? Options trade?
An options trade for next week? I would be fading the move in Caterpillar to the upside, so I'd sell call spreads there.
You would. Dan, how about you?
I think being long vol, Guy said maybe the VIX can go down to 9.
When was the last time the volatility in its
down? It just hasn't.
2007 and then 93.
Because we're
95.
Still on options action here, I would just say that the notion of if you have big gains and some of these stocks have run a lot, the idea of buying calls to replace that exposure and define your risk makes a lot of sense.
All right, that does it for us here on Options Action on this historic inauguration day. Matt and Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.